university. What are the things that we were worried about and what we wanted our community to be aware of. Then we went and looked at all the IT best practices. So we looked at what are some of the behaviors we should change, some tools that are available to us, and just a couple of free things that you can use to make your browsing a little bit more secure. And today, what we're going to talk about is access management and cloud storage. It's not going to be technical. I'm not going to be talking about technologies that we use or that you could use. We're looking at best practices, things that we should do, we should all be aware of, but not the how-tos. If you're interested in the how-tos, because I know there's a few admins here, we could get ICS and their admins and how they do a lot of things and sort of have a table discussion about it. So if you're interested, send me an email. We can discuss, and maybe something in the future can be set up for you guys. The agenda. We're going to define what is confidential data, because that's the biggest question we get. What is it? We have sort of a broad term. We don't have anything in-house. It will be taken from a site from EDUCAUSE, which we have a lot of security professionals around the university or a lot of technology professionals. The risk of data exposures, we're talking about best practices, both for admins and users. And that'll then bring us into cloud storage. But we're not going to be talking about enterprise solutions, solutions that we can, as an enterprise, use. We're talking about customer-oriented solutions, which a lot of people are using, like Dropbox, Google Drive, SkyDrive, and the importance of not putting confidential information, especially institutional information, because this is an unmanaged service. So looked at the needs and benefits of why people want to use it, what are some of the risks that we face, and the considerations if you're going to go ahead and use it, specifically for personal usage. So let's get into data exposure. What is confidential data? Well, in simplistic terms, it's both personal sensitive information and sensitive institutional information. Pretty simple, right? When we look at personal confidential information, anything that'll invade our privacy. So we have a lot of information, both as staff and students, stored on McGill resources. We talk about information that's protected by privacy laws, pay benefits for both employees and students, PII, personal identification information, anything that can identify you, so your name, your date of birth, your address, you name it. Also medical and health, right? We have the MUHC, and data collected in the course of research and human subjects. There was a reminder that was sent out probably, I think it was back in September, by our registrar, Kathleen Massey, and it basically outlines how data can be used, especially student data, since a lot of us deal with it. So I encourage you to take a look. It's a little bit of a quick read, and I'll just tell you exactly what you need to be careful with if you deal with student data or personal data. When we come to institutional data, we have to sort of think back, okay, what is under our institutional data? We have a lot of things. We have financial and planning. We have legal privileged information. We have a lot of research going on here, a lot of contracts. Invention disclosures. And we have information concerning pending applicant patent applications. So sort of a really broad term, as I mentioned. The easiest thing would be to have something organized within your organizations or your individual units to see what you deal with. And why do we want to outline what is private, what is sensitive? Because we're worried about data exposure. A lot of you know we were in the news back in March. A lot of universities are in the news. You want to avoid having a bad reputation. You want to avoid having all of this information that we try to hold dear exposed to the outside. The number one theft is from insiders, right? Why? We have the data. We use it every day. You need it for your jobs to do your routine tasks. But what happens when you have a disgruntled employee or you have someone who's a bit mischievous, right? They have access to it. What are they doing with it? We have inadvertent exposure. So what happens is suddenly we've given rights to a whole bunch of staff to have access to data that they shouldn't have access to. And even though you have access to data, doesn't mean you have the right to see it. But what happens? We're all curious by nature. We're all going to go look in, whether it's to find some documents or to just see exactly what we have access to. We neglect. We have a whole bunch of recycling programs, right? You don't want to just throw out your stuff. You want to recycle your hard disk, recycle your computers. But are you wiping out all the data on there? no matter what, as much as I tell you don't store personal data or don't store any data on your machines, we have to work with it. It's live data. We have it on our machines. If we then put it away, give it away to students, they will then have access to this data. And then we have insecure practices, which we covered. You know, we answer phishing emails, we share our passwords, you name it. So how do we safeguard confidential data? Well, first you have to have an understanding of what data you're dealing with. The data owner, and I know it's sort of a very loose term, but when I ask my director who's a data owner, most of the times it's sort of the high person in a department. So enrollment services, you'd have, they're responsible for student data. You have someone in, I guess, the VP of alumni for alumni data, and HR, the VP there, responsible for HR data. You have to have someone accountable. Someone has to be responsible to say, this is how the data can be used, and this is who has access to it. We all must assume responsibility. It's not just one person's responsibility. You will have guidelines, but how you deal with it is your responsibility in the end, too. Because if you have insecure practices, you share it, what's going to happen in the end, you are responsible. And the person responsible will also be in big trouble if you don't handle it properly. So it's always simple to say you should have an understanding of what your role is. A lot of us don't know what our role is. We wear multiple hats. But we have to protect our data, whether it's putting them into right folders, right? A lot of times we have map drives, so they're told you, here's your departmental share. This is where you should drop certain type of data. You want to keep it away from the local disk, but I know sometimes it's not that easy. You don't want to go and put it on your personal, I think it's the R drive or the P drive, whatever you want to call it. That should not be used for sensitive institutional data or for personal data. The easiest thing to sort of make things really simple is we should have a classification or an organizational scheme. I'm assuming in all of your departments, you have your departmental shares. You're telling users to drop folders. You have sort of folders selected already predefined of what type of data should go where. If you have a simple scheme that you tell, you know, this is public data, this is private data, and you define it, it's very important that we define what does public mean. I remember going somewhere and they said public means public to the department. Well, I would think public means public to the university, right? So you really want to be careful. You want to keep things very concise, very specific, but simple. If it's simple, people should understand it easily and be able to just drop things off. Reduce access to confidential information. A lot of times, because we have a lot of high turnover, we have a lot of employees, we say, you know what, this is simple just to dump everyone into the same group and just dump all the data there. I can trust my staff. They don't need it, they won't look at it. You can't guarantee that. You have to make sure auditing's available, and we might not have enough auditing. So we're not there looking to see, do you have access to the data, and should you have access? I don't know, you don't know. It's usually your managers who know. So that's very important. We want to establish and implement stricter controls. We only allow the people who have access to it. You create groups. We're going to go into that in a few minutes. And we have to do periodic reviews of data. Who had to do an audit of all of their access rights? Okay. It's a painful